Well, I want to review the alphabet just a little bit. We're putting these videos out on the website, so I want to get a little bit up there about this. Some of the things that we haven't covered for a while. Go to your alphabet. You have it right there in front of you, some of you. The alphabet. And these letters in the alphabet are very important. We have, someplace on there, I have all of the alphabets from the ancient Hebrew writings and everything. You've probably got it right there, don't you, Cindy? There you are. All right. Now, the Hebrew alphabet, it goes back to like hieroglyphics. And each letter meant something. Each letter meant something. So let's go back to Aleph. Do you remember what it meant there, Cindy? The ox head. All right. Aleph is an ox head. And that's basically, that's a silent, except when you put a silent letter, except when you put some type of a vowel with it. And then we have the bait. Bait. What is a bait? House. That's the house. All right. Bait is a house. And so when you have Aleph and Bait, you will have what? When you have Aleph and Bait, what do you have? What do you? Who you? Father of the house. Father of the house. That's what Abba means. Father of the house. Okay. I see our boy coming right in here right now. Brother Abe, in a few moments, I would like to have you come up here on this blackboard or whiteboard, whatever you want to, and I want you to write the Chinese symbols for atonement, and I want you to tell us how they mean that. Years ago, I had Brother Soul do that on the blackboard. Just slowly do it and tell us what it means, you know, with the lamb and all of that. Can you do that? Atonement, like you did this morning?
No.
In a few moments. We're studying the alphabet right now, but as soon as I finish this alphabet, I want to have you come up here, and I want you to write in large letters on this, I want you to explain the word atonement in Chinese. Okay? In ancient Korean. Yes.
Next week.
What? Next week.
Next week? I have several types.
Oh, you have several types. Okay. Yes.
Looks like telling Bible story.
Oh, okay.
The Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next week. Would you do a little short abbreviated thing of it this week? This week, because it's on camera, I want to get it out there. But next week we'll give you several minutes to do this. Okay. All right. If you don't mind. All right, we studied Aleph, which means what? What's the ancient character for Aleph?
Ox.
And Bait? House. Okay. And Gimel? A camel. A camel. And what does camel mean in Hebrew? Gift. Gift. All right, gift. Gamaliel. Gamaliel, the famous Hebrew teacher. What does his name mean? What does his name mean? Gamaliel. Gift of God. All right. Okay, Daleth. Daleth means what? Daleth is what?
Door.
Okay. And how about hay?
Window.
Okay, window is hay. And then a wow. What is that? That's a reaping hook. All right, a reaping hook. And then Zion. That's a weapon. All right. And Cheth. What's Cheth? A fence. A fence, okay? And how about Teth?
Snake.
All right. And then Yod? Hand. Hand. And then Kof? Kof? An open hand. All right? An open hand. And how about the Lamet? A whip. It looks like a whip, doesn't it? And then Mem. And it's the root of this word, too, Mem. Waters. Waters. And how about Nin, or Nun?
Fish.
All right. Samek. Samek. That's a prop. A prop. And how about Ayin? Ayin. What does Ayin stand for?
Eyes.
Eyes. Two eyes on it. I want to write it up here on the blackboard so you can see that.
Ion. Like this, see? Eyes.
Ion. See the little eyes like some cartoon character, some of these little weird old things that they got on. Okay? Ion for eyes, and then pay is what? Mouth. Mouth. Alright, sodhe. Sodhe. That funny looking thing there. What is it? What is that? Sodhe. That's a fish hook. Fish hook. Alright, and then the kof. Kof is what? The back of the head. And then resh. Head. Alright, and then sin and shin. What is that? Teeth. Tooth with long roots. All right, and then tau. Tau is a cross, like a T, a tau. All right? Now, there's another thing that I want you to see in a couple of minutes. Brother Abe. Abbreviation, disabbreviated on the atonement. Next week we'll let you do it real good. Can you just abbreviate it here? Just abbreviate it. We'll let you go through the whole story next week. Can you abbreviate it like you did this morning for me? This is interesting. Very interesting. Brother Stoll did this for me years ago. So when he did it, I knew I had already seen it before, but I want it on camera, and then next week we will do it a real deal on that.
Yeah.
They were in Holland.
Because a long time ago, now I almost forgot. But this morning, when we were when I talking to
about the Holland.
Yeah. So I was. I could remember about this it's kind of this is a
righteousness.
Yeah, this is we call ui. The meaning is righteousness. So I don't know why they made it like this, because this is Chinese character. It's more than 5,000 years ago. Like, I don't know the history. But the interesting thing is that this part, this is means lamb. And this part is I. Me. So that means somebody bringing the lamb like this. This is righteousness. Yeah, because
carrying the lamb.
Yeah, carrying the lamb.
Carrying the lamb. The atonement.
But this is a. This is me. This is lamb. So nobody knows why this means righteousness. So someone said we can find the story in Bible. So who is the lamb? Yeah.
Behold the Lamb of God.
So next week I'll show you a little more characters about it.
Amen.
I think there are letters about the Noah's Ark and something. But I started, but I think maybe 10 years ago. So now I cannot remember now.
Thank you, brother. That's what I wanted to get on camera. This was perfect. Absolutely perfect. This is what Mother Soul, but he went into the story like this, but I wanted to get it on the camera, so we have it up there for this week's lesson. We will give you more time next week so you can write a little bit more about it. I really love teaching Brother Soul. He was Korean. Sung I can't remember all of his name, but there's a picture of him up on the website. But I taught him Greek and Hebrew, which was a joke. I mean, I was his Greek and Hebrew teacher. But he would get up here and we'd go into words. And then he'd come up here and I'd say, Brother Soul, come and write the word for whatever. Well, I would write it up in Hebrew. And then he would go up there and write it in Korean. And then he'd write it in Chinese. He'd write it in Russian. He'd write it in Latin. And he'd just keep on going. And the whole blackboard, which was about 4x8, would be filled with that one word in all of those different languages. And he'd just rattle off from memory everything about every word. That was good. In Hebrew, we study words. There was two words that I wanted to bring out tonight. We're in 26 and verse 24. But I wanted to bring out this word for atonement here tonight. And we'll go into it a little more depth next week. The seraphim and the cherubim. We see those terms in the Bible. Okay? We see seraphim and cherubim. And we don't think much about it. We just overlook it. You know, Moloch. Moloch. That's an angel, isn't it? Moloch. Angel. Alright? Well, there are orders of angels. You know, we talk about the archangels, we talk about whatever, but there are two weird little orders of angels, the seraphim and the cherubim. All right, the seraphim and the cherubim. That we think of angels, but these are orders. Who are these guys? What does this depict? All right, now there's different verses. First of all, we're going to go into the cherubim. Cherubim. By the way, that term is used in the plural. Cherubim. Now, where in the Bible, right off the bat, where do we have the term cherubim? Cherubim. Well, in the Ark of the Covenant. So over here, on the Ark of the Covenant up there, we see... Thank you, brother. On the Ark of the Covenant, we see two cherubim. A pair of cherubim. Im is plural, isn't it? That's plural, all right? So we have cherubim. They're not cherubs, but cherubim. They go in pairs. And we have looked in the Bible. We talk about theology. We study little things like this. You know, we studied this morning in our class, and we talked about the Pharisees trying to argue about how many angels could go on the head of a pin or whatever, you know. They argued about everything in the Mishnah and the writing. Anyway, the cherubim on page 500. I want to read just a little bit to you. Exodus 25 and verse 19 and 26. Psalm 99 and 33. And Exodus 25 and 18 through 19. These are the words. Karubu. Karubu. Karubu is an ancient term. A Syrian term. And it means to be gracious or to bless. See, Baruch, cherubim. Do you understand? We're into that, the blessing tonight, to bless. All right. So we have to. It means to be gracious or to bless. Karubu is a great or mighty, a mighty blessing. Okay. Now, these cherubim. They are on the Ark of the Covenant and they're standing above it. Every time there's an atonement is made, guess what? What does this represent? The cherubim. What do they represent? There are two angels in the order of cherubim that are witnesses. When you're born into the world, I believe there's two angels that witness your birth. When you're born again, I believe there are two. This is my thinking, okay? We can go in and look in different places in the Bible, but I believe that there are two witnesses, two angels, two cherubim that witness that you are born again. All right? That which marks you for the resurrection of the good guys. Okay? And then when you die, there are angels, according to Luke the 16th chapter, we have cherubim that come after God's people and escort them into the kingdom of God or to paradise. Okay? These cherubim. This is what we know about them. All right? Karubu, or Sidu, is the name of a winged bull in Assyria. A winged bull. Okay? Now these, we talk about angels and we think about angels with wings. Angels don't normally have wings, do they? But the cherubim do. The cherubim have wings. Now, when we see the angel of Jehovah, we don't see him with wings. He looks just like a man. Matter of fact, it's Jesus Christ. He's pre-incarnate Christ is who he was. We saw two different angels there that visited with Moses besides the Lord himself, Jehovah. And they looked like what? Didn't have wings growing out the back or anything like that. These were angels, okay? But now the cherubim have wings, according to the Bible. Those angels above the Ark of the Covenant have wings, and they're called cherubim, and they go in pairs. All right? It said it comes from the Greeks, in ancient Greek, and Garisthen in Persian. It means sometimes the cloud. Clouds or thunderclouds. Have you ever been in a storm that was so powerful it moved everything? That's what it means. These cherubim have wings, and wings mean wind. Powerful winds. Okay? And the winds are cherubim. Possibly there are cherubim, fallen cherubim, in Satan's kingdom. And fallen seraphim in Satan's kingdom. Cherubim and seraphim. All right. The thundercloud underlies the conception. The living chariot of a theophany of God, identified in the storm in Psalm 18. And he rode upon the cherubim, to fly swiftly. The guards of the Garden of Eden were cherubim. The guards of the Garden of Eden. The throne of Jehovah Sabaoth. There are cherubim guarding them. All right? And the throne of Jehovah Sabaoth. First Samuel 4 and verse 4. The cherubim, of course, on the Ark of the Covenant are referred to. Probably the same reference in 2 Kings 19 and verse 15. Gives an account of two cherubim of solid gold upon a slab of gold facing each other. That's the Ark of the Covenant where we have the mercy seat. They're standing toward each other on the mercy seat. Exodus 25 and verse 18 through 22. And 37, 7 through 9. And Numbers 7 and verse 89. Numerous cherubim were woven into the texture of the inner curtains of the tabernacle and the veils. What do you think that might represent? We're talking about Hebrew now, but let's go back and put some application of what we're learning into it. They're the curtains right here. These curtains on the inside of there. Now what, first of all, what does the tabernacle stand for in this period of time? What does the tabernacle stand for in the present period of time? We know that it stands for Christ. But secondarily, what's the secondary? What does it stand for? What is it a type of? The church in the church age. The church in the church age. What do you think kept all of the Adamic, all of the hellish world and all the demons of hell, what kept them from destroying completely God's churches? The cherubim that guarded. In other words, it's all around that church. All around it. 48 boards stood around there. 48 boards stood around there. 48 boards. They're made out of wood. Wood stands for what in the Bible? Humanity. What does gold? They were covered with pure gold. What does gold stand for? Divinity. When you've been saved, when you've been born again, you are wood. You're still wood. You're still flammable. You're still... You can deteriorate in the flesh, but you're covered with pure gold. And what did they stand on? Sockets of what? sockets of what did they stand on? Silver. Silver stands for what in the Bible? What does silver stand for? Remember, all around this are cherubim woven into the curtains. Redemption. Silver is redemption. Thank you. Boy, you get an A+ for tonight, Marilyn. A+. You know, she slept all afternoon today, and I like to not got her here. She just came home and fell asleep. Poor little girl. It's scriptural to take a nap on Sunday, you know. It's scriptural to do that. But she fell out, and then when we got home, she didn't know where. When we left home, she didn't know where she's going. Now, boy, I mean, you're sharp as a double-edged razor. All right. All right, we talk about the slab, and we talk about the glory of Jehovah. All around Jehovah, there are cherubim, okay? Are you enjoying this? Is this worth going into now? This is Hebrew, all right. They talk about, they describe the cherubim of the temple, two gigantic images of olive wood plated with gold, 10 cubits high, standing facing the door, whose wings 5 cubits each extended, two of them meeting in the middle of the room to constitute the throne, two of them extending to the walls in 1 Kings 6:23-28, and 8:6-7. 2 Chronicles 3:10-13, and 5:7-8, doubtless influenced by Ezra, represents as the chariots of Jehovah, the ones that escort Jehovah wherever he goes. And just remember now, the tabernacle is a type of Jesus, number one. And remember what? The devil took Jesus up to a high place and he told him to what? Jump down. Throw yourself down because what? The cherubim will protect you. You will not dash one foot against the stone. As we look at the tabernacle, on the inside are woven all these cherubims. All right? The image of cherubim are carved on the gold-plated cedar planks which constituted the inner walls of the temple. They're carved on there. Upon the olive wood door. What does the temple stand for? We have the church being represented by the tabernacle because it's movable, moves about. We're in a transient world. We're pilgrims in this world today. But what does the temple represent, and what period of time does the temple? Here's the church age right here. That's the tabernacle. Now, what does the tabernacle stand for? What period of time? The millennial reign. Now, on each of these boards is carved a cherubim. That constituted the inner walls of the temple upon the olive wood doors. What is olive wood? What comes from olive wood? What comes from olive? Trees. Olive oil. Olive oil represents what? In the Bible.
Healing.
Healing. It does represent healing, but I mean the real
practice. Anointing.
The Holy Spirit of God. The light that lit the candlestick is the olive oil, the pure consecrated olive oil. We have the days of Hanukkah. That's when they had the 8 days that the oil, they didn't have enough consecrated oil. They didn't want to just use any olive oil, but they wanted to use this consecrated olive oil, and that olive oil lasted for 8 days until they could consecrate the others. In 2 Chronicles 37, and on the basis of the portable labors interchanging with lions and oxen. And also, what did the lions represent in the Bible? And all the lions in all of this? What the lion? The lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, the lion of the tribe of Judah. How about the oxen? Remember the flags that went around. There were four flags, and there's four gospels. Those four flags represented the four gospels that were come, Christ's different ways that he would be looked at. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. One of them had an eagle on it. Eagle represented that he is divinity on earth. Divinity on earth. And then he had a, what was the other one? The face of a man, that he's a son of man. He is related to mankind. And the other one was an ox. Mark's gospel represents him as what? The servant. ochre, the ox. And they were woven into the veils. Ezekiel described the scarabs as four living creatures, each with four faces, the lion, ox, eagle, and the man. What do you think that's representing? All the work of Christ, the complete work of Christ. That is what we call a theophany. Having the figure of the hands of man and the feet of calves, it has four wings, two of which are stretched toward meeting above and suspended above the throne of Jehovah, and two of them stretched downwards as to cover the creatures themselves, and the cherubim never turn. They go straight forward and do all the wheels of cherubim. They are all full of eyes. What do you think all full of eyes and the coal of fire, what does this represent? Full of eyes, the all-seeing God. God is omnipresent, isn't he? He is all-knowing. And the coals of fire, what's the fire represent? Cleansing, purification, like this right here. Righteousness, all right? Let's go on a little bit further now. Let's go to the other word, the seraphim, 976. 976 in your Brown Driver and Briggs, 976. Let's look at this now. I hope you've enjoyed this tonight. 976, the seraphim. This is another order of angelic beings. These are full of pyros. Pyros. What's pyros in Greek? Fire. Fire. It means to burn. It means to consume. It means to absorb. And the angels that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, what did they do to Sodom and Gomorrah? From their persons, evidently, they rain fire. Seraphim. All right? It's Aramaic. Sarafu, all right? Saraf, it means to destroy. All right? It means to, they had to, they say when they burned up a body in a funeral pyre, it went up in smoke. And that's the term for seraphim also. The burning on the sacrificial altar, the seraphim. The angel of the Lord came down and what did he do to the sacrifices? He consumed the sacrifices with the fire of God. Up on Mount Carmel, when Elijah had his contest with the prophets of Baal, alright, and he poured gallons and barrels and barrels and barrels of water on his, and he told him, he said, just call and cut yourselves. Go into your ecstatic fits, whatever you want to do, and call upon your God. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he went on a vacation. Maybe he's in the toilet. Whatever. He said, call and scream and holler for more. And he was supposed to come down. They said, the one that God that will consume the sacrifices, that is the real God of heaven. So the seraphim, they burned it up. All right, burned it up. The red heifer offering represents the burning and the cleansing, the righteous burning and righteous cleansing. Burn. Burning. The burning of spices, the burning of incense, all represents the seraphim. All right? All the seraphim. The seraph also is a fiery serpent made out of what? The serpent that Moses put up on a pole, up on a stake, was made out of what? And he's called as what? No. Brass. Judgment. Because Jesus had the judgment of God for our sins put upon him. And he's the type of the serpent put on the pole. And what did they have to do to be saved, be cured from this bite, from this fiery serpent? What did they have to do? What was... All they have to do is look. Today, if we want to be saved, we have to look to Christ. We just have to look to Him. We repent of our sins by grace. We call upon the Lord and we believe and have faith by grace. And we look. All right. They talk about the seraphim, the serpent's bodies. The sting of a serpent is like fire. The sting of a scorpion is like fire. The sting of the little flying object called a hornet and a bumblebee and a bee, especially the hornets and the wasp, is like fire. That is a type of hell. The burning in hell. The burning in hell. When God unleashes all of His anger on those in vial 13. All right. That's just a little bit of that. We played in that and those words just a little bit tonight. All right. Genesis 26 and verse 24. Genesis 26 and verse 24. Vayera, Elah, and Dabar. All right, this word Dabar there, that is what we use for the word Jehovah, which we don't know how to say, and neither does anybody else. All right, the unspeakable name. A Jew today would say what when he comes to this name?
Adonai.
Adonai. All right, which means Lord. By the way, they call Jesus Lord Adonai all the time. All right. And then we have the word Balila. The name Lila comes right out of night, all right? Balila. Hahu. Wayomer. Anoki. Elohi. Avraham. Abika. Al. Tira. Ki. Itika. Anoki. Ubiroktika. We hear that he et the raka ba'avur Abraham Abdi. All right. Wayera, and he appeared. This is the word ra'ah. It's resh, aleph, and he. All right. This means to appear or to see, all right? In Genesis 22, we saw that Jehovah appeared unto Abraham. And it said, and he appeared unto him, Jehovah. All right? In the night. And what did he do to Adam in the garden? He put him in a hypnotic trance. Hypnose. Hypnose is a Greek word. He hypnotized him and he spoke to him in many people. We have Joseph. We have even have Pharaoh. We have Abimelech. We have a lot of people in the Bible that God spoke to in dreams. Okay? Appeared to them in dreams. And appeared unto him Jehovah Balila in the night. Beth. Page 88 there, and then Lila. All right, in the night, the that night, and he said, Anoki, Elohi, I, God of Abraham, Avika, your father, not you fear. All right, not you fear. Second person, masculine singular, cow, juicy, and meaning. Page 431 and 432. And Brown Driver and Biggs 431, 432, and Kohler and Baumgartner. Because with you I shall, here is the word here, cherubim, the root of this word, cherubim. It means to watch over, to bless, and to nourish, all right? And I shall keep on blessing. I will have blessed you. And what kind of stem was that, Cindy? What kind of stem is that?
P-O
stem. What does that P-O stem mean?
Intensely.
Intensely. Intensely. All right, you got that? What do you do when you do something intensely? With great force. He said, I will bless you with great force. All right? Suffix is second person masculine singular. Baruch. Barak. We hear, Biti. And I shall increase you. I shall increase you. I shall have increased your seed. seed, zera, and that is sperma in Greek. In account, ba'avur, all right? For the sake of, on the account of Abraham, on Abraham's account. You know we're saved today? We're children of Abraham, spiritual seeds. What does a spiritual seed of Abraham represent when God showed Abraham what? What represents us? He showed him two different physical things that represent what? His spiritual seed and his physical seed. Which ones are us? The stars of heaven, all right? The spiritual thing. My servant, my slave, Avdi. That servant, that slave. Genesis 26:2, 17:7 and 8, 24:12, 15 and 1, and 22:17, 26:3 and 4, Acts 7:32 and Ezekiel and Exodus 3 and 6 are all cross references to this verse. All right. Now let's go back where we are in Genesis. Cindy, do you have your Amplified Bible there? Would you read 26 about 20 this way? 26:20. Yeah, we got to get back to where we are. 26:20 up to this point.
And the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours," and he named the well Ethic contention because they quarreled with him. And his dogs dug another well. And his servants dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he named it Sitna, enmity. And he moved away from there and dug another well, for that one they did not quarrel. He named it Ribah, room, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Now he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said,
Beersheba means what? Beersheba. What does Beersheba mean? The spring or well of the oath. All right, the well of the oath. Okay, go ahead.
And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will favor you with blessings and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham."
I am the cherubim. I am the seraphim. I will protect you. See that? Do you see why I brought these in tonight? I am the cherubim. I am the seraphim that will protect you. I will do it. I have protection all around you, Abraham. And our Jacob, I have, and Isaac, I have protection all around all of these. There's protection everywhere. All of the descendants of Abraham have protection, and even down to us today, we have protection around us. Now, I've been through all kinds of trials in my life. The Lord must have thought I was really tough. That's all I can say. Because I've been through plenty of them, but if I look back for the last 50 years, I can see God's hand on me every inch of the way. Every inch of the way. I don't know what He's trying to prove to me. Except that you can walk through fire and get right and get on through the other side, I guess. Walk through fire. It doesn't matter. Well, the three Hebrew children were in the oven, weren't they? And Daniel was in the lion's den, and God shut the mouth of the lion. I tell you what, I've been there. I know that. I can tell you, God really does these things. He's really, the cherubim and the seraphim, they really work. We have guardian angels. Some of them are seraphim, some of them are cherubim. Okay? We have guardian angels watching over us, protecting us all the time. The old world can get so far in the book of Job. I'm glad that, you know, Job didn't have the book of Job. Did you know that? He didn't have chapter 1. Job didn't have that. Job got to look back through all that life. I think I'm just, my cousin back in Oklahoma, Bill Paul, he called me one time and I was going through some trials and everything. He said, "When I think about my cousin Jim," he said, "I think about God's servant Jim. When I read the book of Job, I think about him, my servant." I did have the book of Job, see. You know, you can go on the website, that Discover the Word with Dr. Jim, and go back into the old sermons, and back there, I taught on the book of Job in 1973. I didn't know anything about it at all. Today I do. I'm just up there reading the book, describing and everything like that. Boy, now I got to live some of it. It makes a whole lot of difference once you get to live it. Have you ever gone through trials and tribulations and everything like that? Sometimes people can salt waltz through life and not be touched to be immaculate. And then some go through the storms. Well, the seraphim and the cherubim are there to protect you. That's all I can say.
The more he slaps you around, the more he cares about you.
I'll tell you one thing. If you're going the wrong direction and you get a whooping, just shout hallelujah. Because you're his. If you don't get a whooping, you better worry. That's all I got to say. You better worry. If you're out there going the wrong way and just out there in the gambling halls and drinking and boozing and just going and doing whatever you want to do, turn wide open, aselgia, it says in Greek, unbridled lust, and you're just going right along, and you're tripping right along, and you made a profession sometime, some place, and you're just going along here and you're having a good time, boy, you better worry. It didn't work.
It's that way in real life sometimes.
Yeah.
You see people that go along and you know they're doing things wrong and they're just happy and never get in trouble, at least on the surface.
Well, a lost person, they're just going to just go right through and just have a ball.
Just
have a ball, trip right along, and when they leave hell, when they leave this world, they just bust hell wide open, go through the gates. There they are.
And they can't come back and tell us.
And they don't get to come back and tell us. We have one example of that in Luke, the 16th chapter. One man, a sermon from hell. We have a sermon from hell in Luke, the 16th chapter. Please go back and tell them, send somebody back from the dead and tell them, don't come into this place of torment. When you make a profession of faith, if it's real, you're God's and He owns you. He owns you. You're not your own anymore. You can't go out and do the things of the world. You go out and do the things of the world, it's possible for you to do them, but what's going to happen? You're going to have stripes on you people. And if you don't turn around, it's the death penalty. That's it. If you don't turn around, it's done. The sin unto them. 26 and verse 25. Why Yiving? Sham. May Biak. Why Yikra? Bishem. The bar. Why Yet? Sham. Aholo. Why Yikru? Sham. Abde. Yitzhak Be'er. Alright. And he built according to a pattern. That's what it means. And he built according to a pattern. There. What does the word Shem mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Name? Monument? Pillar? Alright. The word Shem means name, monument, pillar. To the descendants of Shem. Why old Whitey in the Bible? What was his name in the Old Testament there? Laban. Whitey. Old Laban was the fifth son of Shem. You know, he was of that whole bunch of Aramaeans. They were out there. This is northern Syria. They're all from the fifth son of Shem, which means name. All right? And he built there, according to a pattern, an altar. Maybeach, an altar. Now, what is an altar? I want you to think about an altar right now for just a little while. An altar. How was an altar built? Brother Abe, you're from Korea, and one of the major religions in Korea is what? Buddhism. All right. And they have altars. They have Buddhist temples and things. Not major. What's the major one there? Uh-huh. Oh. Well, anyway, they're Buddhist. They have Buddhist temples. And they go there and they build great altars and great temples, and they have Buddha in there, a carving of Buddha. It's all carved and polished, and the floors are beautiful, aren't they? The temples are beautiful, aren't they? beautiful temple. An altar of God is different. I want you to understand this altar of God is different. You can't do anything beautiful to make an altar of God. You can't make it out of any carved stone. What do you have to make an altar to God out of? Just plain rocks. All you can do is pile up rocks that God made. You can't make anything pretty about it. Why? Because the atonement is not from you. The atonement didn't come from you. The atonement comes from God. Like Brother Abe said a while ago, righteousness means, the atonement means a man, me, carrying a lamb on my head. The lamb is the atonement, the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, that altar had to be built out of things that God made. It's God's work. And then you take something that's innocent and you put the innocent thing up on the altar and burn it up. Seraphim. Because God placed the whole sins of mankind on Jesus on that fiery cross out there on Calvary. All right, that altar. That altar has to be of natural material. It couldn't be, and there couldn't be any steps up to the altar. You couldn't walk up to the altar. Because it has nothing to do with what you... You walk there on flat ground, and they want their barefooted too, didn't they? Barefooted. And he kept on calling in name of Jehovah. All right. He kept on calling in the name of Jehovah. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. When we baptize somebody, we call on the name of the Father. We call upon the name when we baptize somebody of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the whole divine triune God, which is not three gods, by the way. The only God you're ever going to see is what? The Son, Jesus. That's it. That's the only physical expression of Godhead there is. All right? They saw a theophany. Ezekiel saw a theophany. John saw a theophany in the book of Revelation. The theophany that John saw in the book of Revelation is a whole lot like the one he saw in Ezekiel and in Isaiah. These are theophanies, a display of God for what we call where God condescended to where we could understand and see Him. And in those things we have four faces representing the work of Christ in the four Gospels. Isn't that beautiful? And this was all way before it happened. What we call the inspiration of the Bible is inspired. Prophecy is to say something before it happened. In the Old Testament, those four flags stood for the fourfold ministry of Christ, as the four Gospels would show it. All right. He called, kept on calling upon the name of Jehovah. And he kept on spreading out there. And he kept on spreading out there. Wayet Sham. Third person Magnus Senior, Cal, Wow, Consecutive, Imperfect. And he kept on spreading out there his Ahola. His tent. And he kept on searching. Kept on seeking. That's what you call dig. When you dig for something, you search and you seek for it. People have dug for gold and for silver. One time, I believe it was up in the Sierras, there was a silver mine up there that was so gigantic, the ore, the veins of the ore, they got this set back and they watched. How in the world are we going to get this out of there? They didn't know how to do it. The ore veins were so big and so giant that how in the world are you going here and you go into a side of a mountain? How in the world in this mountain are you going to hollow the whole mountain out? How can you do that? Where are you going to stand to do it? What did they do?
Plastic.
Huh?
Plastic.
No.
Hydraulic.
No. They had to build honeycombs all through it. Just like this. To hold the walls up. These are timbers like that. Honeycomb all the way through that giant silver vein. Digging and searching, digging and searching, digging and searching. A guy, a special engineer, had to figure out how am I going to hold this mountain up. If you go to Tonopah, Nevada, I used to go to Tonopah all the time, Tonopah, Nevada all the time. Huh? That was town, man. I mean, I lived out there in the sticks. Tonopah was town now, and Goldfield. They say that town it almost is hollow, sitting on nothing but this. I've been up there. Marilyn, I took Marilyn up here and she's, I said, I want to move up here. There aren't any McDonald's. Well, there's McDonald's up there now, see. We see, is that legitimate? We got a McDonald's? How about a Kmart? Walmart. No Walmart, no Kmart. We got Scolari's. No Walmart, no Carbon, no Target in Tonopah, Nevada, but they do have a Scolari's. The most books that I ever sold of that Indian book, that's the Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of American Indian, I stayed up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the first of the month, and I sold hundreds of copies of that. Everybody that walked in there, they say, the author here is signing this book, so I sat there and signed books by the cases. Everybody that came into Tonopah, Nevada from all over, hundreds of miles in every direction, they came in there on this place where there's nothing but caverns underneath it, and they bought a book. I guess that was kind of a captured audience, you know. What? Well, that's where they went to for Scolari's, was they only market for 150 miles, basically. And a lot of those places they came to Scolari's because they had good fresh food and everything. Meat and vegetables and everything. Marilyn even went in there and bought something. I think some the buffalo burger. They had everything in Scolari's. You could go in there and buy lobster. Out there in the middle of nothing. What?
They didn't have any competition.
And down in there in the no competition, boy. I mean, the finest restaurant that ever was anywhere from Las Vegas to Reno was right there in Tonopah, Nevada, and it was called the Jack Dempsey Room, and I ate there a lot of times. I would go over there, and my friend would say, come over here and work on my radio, or do this, fix an antenna, or whatever. I'll buy you two lobster and filet mignon dinners at the Jack Dempsey Room, because Jack Dempsey was the bouncer there at one time. That's where he grew up and fought and everything else, right there. Go in there, and I mean talk about a dinner. I could only eat one dinner. He bought four dinners every time we went there. He ate three of them, and I ate one, barely. Boy, he could eat. And he said, let's go out for pizza for dessert. Boy. One time, a long time ago, he pitched his tent there. Slaves of Isaac, they kept on searching and digging, searching and digging. One time, a long time ago, there was a very famous man by the name of Wyatt Earp. His brother and he were marshals in Esmeralda County. That's in Esmeralda County, by the way. In the seat of Esmeralda County was that great big town called Goldfield. And right up there, if you've ever come to my house, maybe you go in there in the living room, and from Wyatt Earp's bar in Tonopah, Nevada, I have a spittoon in my living room right there in the little thing. No, I didn't steal it. My friend Travis, the one that went and buy me all these filet mignon and lobster dinners in the Jack Dempsey Room, he gave that to me.
He stole it.
No, his mom and dad lived there from time eternal, and they tore down the old bar, and they had all these things in there, and they happened to get it. They had all kinds of things, gold and silver coins, everything in there. Wyatt Earp was out there and staked a silver claim out in the hills. Not everybody knew that Wyatt Earp was in Tonopah and Goldfield. They kind of wander out there, and there was all kinds of claim jumpers out there. And you had to go up and put a monument up, which you called a claim. Wherever you went, you had to put a claim up. And they would go out there and put a claim up. Well, anyway, Wyatt Earp and his partner had claimed this whole area in here, and they had markers up. When Wyatt Earp went back up there with a friend, out there they're having a shootout, and his friend is down in the hole. This really happened. Now, this is a real true story. Okay? He was down in the hole. Wyatt Earp got out of there, and he had a shotgun underneath his coat there. You know, he always wore a coat, and he had a log, and he called what Little Pony was his Colt 45 that he carried under his vest. One time he got in trouble doing a referee in a fight in San Francisco because his coat went back and they saw the 45 underneath his coat. Well, he was up there in Tonopah, Nevada, Wyatt Earp was. He was one of the most famous gunfighters in the 1800s, you know. Well, he went out there and he got out on the far side of the wagon. They're shooting out here and he's hollering. He said, "Help, help, help! You get out of here! These outlaws that were around him, get out of here and go away." Wyatt Earp just walks right out there and just stands right out in front of his side. He said, "Get off my land." And they're shooting around out there and everything else. He was out of distance for them. And he said, "Who do you think you are?" And he said, "Wyatt Earp." They jumped in the hole when he said that. They just jumped down the hole and they talked, had a conference. Well, I'm stuck his head back out. "Are you really Wyatt Earp?" "Yeah, I wouldn't have told you that otherwise." Got back down in the hole in the ground and it looked over at the other place and everything else. Says, "Mr. Earp, can we leave?" He said, "No. Get out and straighten up everything you tore up first." He got a little work out of him. They built monuments back. All the little monuments they built back again. All right, and they dug and they searched. They kept on digging and searching. The slaves of Isaac for Be'er, the flowing water. All right, the flowing waters. 26 and verse 26. We of Abimelech. Halak. Elah. Megadarar. We are Wa Achazot. Mary Ehu, Yuvikol, Zahar, Tezevaho. And page 253, that's with. All right, with. With is represented by what? A what? It's a reaping hook. It is a pruning hook. A hook. Okay? And Abimelech. What does his name mean? Who gets an A for tonight? Who knows what Abimelech's name means? Father Abba Melech. Father of the king. Moloch is angel. Melech is king. All right? Almost alike. And he walked. Abimelech, he walked, he had walked unto him from Megarar. Megarar, man, is from, you know, man, from Gerar. What does Gerar mean? Gerar. What does Gerar mean?
Is that a circle?
Circle. And it's a little circle like a coin. This is a place where they coined. This was a mint, place where they minted coins. And Achazot. Now, what is this guy? This is from Gerar, and Achazot, this guy. It's his friend, okay. But what does his name mean? On page 28. Page 28. Hold on here, Cynthia. You're not going to get it easy. Here's Brown Driver Briggs, an analytic or Hebrew lexicon here now. Page 28. And I want you to see what it says there. Page 28. Achazot. Achazot. 28. That old wore out book. About like this is about the kind of shape I'm in.
Possession.
Possession.
His name means to possess, to grab a hold of. This man was a man that grabbed a hold of things. He was a man that captured things that he possessed. He was a possessor. He had much possessions. He was a rich man. He was a man that knew how to get money. He had the Midas touch. The Midas touch. Okay? And his friend, Mariku, and his friend, and Phico. That one there is going to... Phico is on page 810. Let me tell you what to write down in that Hebrew lexicon. Because you're going to look and look and look in that form. Huh? Uh-huh. I want you to write this in that lexicon.
Are you going to write it in?
Uh-huh. I want you to write in there. You can write better than I can. Okay. I want to tell you what to write in that lexicon. I want you to write down great and strong. Right there by it. Great and strong. Great and strong. He is as strong as a blank tree. What kind of a tree? An oak tree. Write down oak tree. Oak tree. He's as strong as an oak tree or a tamarisk tree. An oak tree. Around Hebron were a lot of live oak trees. Oak trees. Oak trees are very, very strong. Very strong. That's what the name Phico means. Phico. Okay? Meant like an oak tree. And then we have the word sar. Sar means what? That's where Sarah comes from. Remember, Sar, Sarah, what does it mean? It means to fight. It means to contend. Yeah. Marilyn's Indian name is what, Marilyn? What's your Indian name? She always wanted it. What? No, come on. Spit it out now. You know what your Indian name is.
What's your name?
That's right. No. Short fuse. You know when you got a short fuse? That means you got to take off running real fast. The powder monkeys, you say, I got a short fuse, boy. Boom, boy, light that thing and take off flying, boy. Short fuse. Commander. This is someone that, this man is a warrior. He's a prince. He's a warrior. And his armies. And his armies. All right. And his armies. So here we have the setting now. Cindy, Sister Cindy, can you go back over there to the... Does anyone else have a amplified Bible? Well, you're up here close to the microphone. We've got to get you to holler out like you're hollering at them mean students up there in Porterville College. All right. 25 and 26 and... 25 and 26, I think. Isn't it? Then where are you? What? 25 and 26.
And Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants were digging a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, his army's commander.
All right, there we are so far. Number 27 now. Are you about ready to quit, or you want to go on a little bit further? Got time for another verse? All right. Wayomer Alehim Yitchik Madu Batim Ele Wa'atim Sinatim Otik Wali Shalehinu Tunu and then Mietikim. I don't know why I gave you the cross references, all these other ones. Genesis 12, 7 and 8, 13, 4 and 18, and Psalm 1, 16 and 17 to those other verses. And then Judges 11 and 7 on this one. And he kept on saying unto them, Isaac, Yitzchak,
Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak mean? What does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak. What does his name mean? Page 850 and page 428. Page 850 on there, Cindy. I want you to look at page. I want to teach you how to use these lexicons. That's why I'm doing this. Of course, Cindy's all going to get to learn this. See, I'll pass this around. 850, you over there at 850? Yitzchak. All right. Yep. Laugh. Pleasure. Laughter. Pleasure. Intense laughter and pleasure. Something that is onomatopoeic. Onomatopoeic. What's that mean? Onomatopoeic. It means
like
you just do it. You just automatically do it. It's something that you laugh. There's anything, I mean, something makes you laugh, but it just automatically, extemporaneously, just comes out, doesn't it? You just laugh. Laugh? Giggle? I remember I pastored churches for years, and my students in the morning here, you got gigglers in the class, don't you? You ever giggled? They just keep the class just rolling, giggling along. Gigglers. Especially when you get a lot of them, you say something, they go, and they giggle, they just carry it right along. That's the term, to laughter. It means to have pleasure. And when you laugh, you have pleasure. All right? That's the root of that term right there. Said unto them, Yitzchak, Madu'u. Madu'ah. Why? Why do you come? Why have you come unto me? Look at that word, have come. Second person masculine plural, cal perfect. Why have you come unto me? And you all have hated. You all have hated. Look at that word, hated there. You all have hated me. And chase me away with violent force. Look at that. Chase me away with violent force. What stem was that there, Brother Roger? See that down there where it says PL? Do you see that, Chris? PL stem. Anytime you see PL stem, you see that, Harry? Brother Abe? PL stem means with great power and force. You sent me away with great power and force, and you kept on sending me away with great power and force. Second person, masculine, plural, PL, while consecutive, imperfect, suffix is first person, construct, singular. 10:18 in that little book right there, and 15:11 in Toller and Bumgarner. From you, me itikim. You kept on sending me from you with great force. You want to do another verse, or you want to quit right there? I'll do another verse if you want to do another verse. All right. 26 and verse 28. I'm wound up tonight, see? About to crash. Spinning around in circles. Wayomaru. Ra'o. Ra'inu. Ki. Hayah. Davar. Imak. Wananomar. Tihi Nah Allah Ben Natanu Benu Beninu. That's what Beninu Yuvanika We Nik Rita Verit Imak. Let's look at this one then. And they kept on saying, seeing, ra'o, seeing, call infinitive absolute, seeing, we have seen. See this word seeing here? That's a very, see that ra'a, ra'a, this is the word Jehovah Roi, or Jehovah Jireh. This is a root to it, that is, Jehovah Jireh. And Roe is also Jehovah Roe means what? Jehovah what? Roe. Jehovah Roe. Psalm 23. Jehovah is my shepherd. He watches after me. John, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I watch after my sheep. My sheep know me, and I know them. I see them, they see me. All right? They won't follow anybody else, because they know me. This, for we have seen, because became, has become Jehovah with you. All right? And we have said, Let become her now, an oath, Allah, an oath. Benotenu, between us, and Benenu, between us, and Yuvanika, between you, and let us cut a covenant, a cutting with you. Let us cut a cutting with you. So what are they going to do? They're going to go out there and they're going to take animals. They're going to cut the animals in half. They're going to put one half of the animal one place, one half of the animal the other place, and they're going to cook them. And they're going to have a feast. And they're going to walk between and they're going to give each other their shoe.
Is it called blood covenant?
Huh?
That's called blood covenant.
Yes, this is a blood covenant. This is a blood covenant. The blood covenant, you know, nobody wanted to break a blood covenant. Among the American Indian people, there was a covenant like this. There was a covenant like this among the American Indian people. It was called the covenant of the pipe, the peace pipe. The peace pipe. That was that long pipe. Cindy, you saw those peace pipes at my house, didn't you? When an Indian took out a peace pipe and they put tobacco in it, they offered it to the four directions and then the heaven and the earth. They take it and they offer it to the north. The north, the color of north is white, righteousness, purity. In the wintertime is when all the bugs get killed and all the disease. You know, you can't hardly catch cold in the winter up in the high, high cold country. They go to the north and they go to the east, and the east is where the sun comes up, and they looked at the sun as the power of God that gave all things life. They looked there and said, give me wisdom from the north. Give me the strength from the east. Then they looked to the south, which is where the green stuff is. You go down far enough, South America, it's always summer down there, and it's always summer, always green. And green in the American Indians is giving. When you give, God gives to us, and we give to one another, we protect one another. And then to the black. Black is the east, where it gets night. They always, it helped me remember that I am fragile and that this may be my last day on the earth, as they look toward the west. And then they held a pipe to heaven, which is blue, by the way. And then they touched the ground with a pipe, which is Mother Earth. This is where we all come from. For everything we eat comes from the earth that God gives us. And then they would smoke that pipe. They'd offer it to the four directions of heaven and earth, and they'd smoke it. And when you smoked that pipe, when you drew it in, and when you breathed out the oath, God saw the oath with the smoke. And you and your people forever were bound to that oath by blood. By blood from now on. In the San Joaquin Valley, when the white people came in here, they chased the Indians out of the valley and then they chased them out of the mountain. They run them here and they run them there. And when one Indian would go into one place and to another, they'd sit there and starve to death. So why do you starve to death? Our ancestors swore by the pipe not to hunt or fish on this land. Well, so what? They're dead. God's not dead. God's not dead. That's the oath that lasted forever. This is a strong oath. This is a blood oath, Cindy. That's a blood oath. Well, so was that. But it was by the blood of God. It was by Him, His eternalness. When we make an oath, when they made an oath, when our ancestors made an oath, it involves us. Just think about that. When God made the oath to Abraham, it's good for us today. It's good today. The promise of Abraham, the stars of heaven, were related to Abraham and were in that blood oath that God swore to him through the blood of his son on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for your attention. Go out and do something eternal. Sister Cindy, I have used you up a lot tonight, but would you please dismiss us in prayer? Do you think you got anything left to pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your awesomeness. I thank you for the power that you display on a daily basis through the creation that you've given us. And I just thank you for taking care of each and every one.